The Bible said in the book of Exodus, chapter number 3, and verse number 1, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Boy, what a mouthful he just said to God. He said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Boy, aren't you glad he knows that? And I am come down. Thank God he did. To deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold the cry of the children of Israel's come unto me, and I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. This shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. They shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said to Moses, I am that I am. He said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. You may be seated this morning. I'm interested in the thought of verse number 2. There the Bible says, And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, I want to start a series this morning on this thought, Bible fire. Bible fires. We've looked one time at a series of the mountains of God. And oh, how God did great things on mountains. Thank God, Brother Gerald, for the mountain of Calvary. There where He died for your and my sin. We did one time on the rivers of God. And oh, how He did many things around the waters of this Bible. But this morning, my thought is on the Bible fires. And I want to preach on this thought this morning, the witness of the fire. The witness of the fire. Now here you'll find in the reading of our text that that bush was a burning with fire. And on that thought, the witness of the fire, you'll notice first of all, there's a manifestation of God's presence. A manifestation of God's presence. He witnessed Himself by fire.
The Bible teaches us that our God is a consuming fire. God did many things with fire. But here we see the manifestation of God's presence. In verse number 1, if you would, notice His appointments are sovereign. Moses was on the backside of a desert. Now, Brother Ken, let me ask you, how do you get God to appear? I want to tell you, it's a sovereign act. Nobody has the ingredients or the forecast or the terminology of when God is going to appear, but I sure am glad that He does. And I'll tell you, it is His sovereign right to appear wherever He wants to go. You're a manifestation of God's presence. You'll see His appointments are sovereign. Who would have ever thought in the day and hour that God would have set a fire at Kudzu Patch in Bowden, Georgia, and established a church on the backside of a desert? But He's good at that. I remember Brother Tom Dillon talking about it. He said, you know, it's just amazing. He said, we go to this place and that place. And he said, isn't it amazing that you come to a little old town down in Bowden, Georgia, that most people can't even spell it right, much less know that it exists, and open up to a kudzu field, and there you see a bush of faith with the glory of God. And I thank the Lord that it is a sovereign appearance. His appearances are sovereign. I've heard of men say, I'm going to build a great ministry, but the bush never did catch fire and burn, and now it's just a building that is sitting there void of the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. May I say, His appearance is sovereign this morning. He's a sovereign God. You'll not put our God in a box. You'll not pull His string. You'll not touch His key. God is sovereign. I don't know why there's not other churches filled with God, but there's not many. You say, well, you just made a big statement. Well, I've preached in over 100. I know what I'm saying. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of badness. There's a lot of buildings. But there's not a lot of God. This morning, the manifestation of God's presence, the witness of this fire. You'll see His appointments are sovereign. Number 2, His appearance is startling. In verse number 3, it got Moses' attention. And let me tell you this morning, folks, God can get your attention. His appearance is startling. May I tell you that, boy, at the average place this morning, when He comes in, it would startle a lot of folks. It startles me when God comes on the scene. What are you talking about? I'm telling you, I can count to you the times on my hands when God has really just touched me and been specific to me about areas in my life and this ministry. His appearance is startling. Oh, my, couldn't you imagine? Now Moses is on the backside of the desert with his dead-in-law sheep, and he's just minding his own business. He's going in his everyday walk of routine. There's no doubt he's probably passed this bush hundreds and hundreds of times for them 40 years that he's been seeing about that little flock of sheep. But all of a sudden, one day, God appeared to him in a flame of fire, and I'll assure you it was startling. It got his attention. I wonder what God's going to have to do to get your attention. You know, God gets a lot of people's attention through tragedies, through trials, and through storms, and through heartaches and circumstances. But here you'll find a manifestation of God's presence. His appearance is startling. Then thirdly, in verse number 4, you'll find His attraction is stirring. The Bible said that Moses turned aside to see this great sight. Oh yes, this morning His attraction is stirring. He's got His attention. And I'm going to tell you, the preacher can't stir your heart. The Sunday school teachers can't stir your heart. But God, the Holy Ghost, can stir your heart. I looked when that choir was singing this morning, people was wiping tears. Well, that wasn't because pretty voices was a singing. That's because the Holy Ghost was a getting your attention. The Holy Ghost is stirring. And thank God He can stir our heart when He comes in with His presence. And that He can stir our heart and let us realize just really how big He is and how little we are. This morning, the witness of the fire. You'll see the manifestation of God's presence. His attraction is stirring. But then in verse number 4, His announcement is specific. God always appears for a specific reason. God just doesn't come on the scene because He has nothing else better to do. But His appearance and His announcement is always specific. He will come upon man for a specific purpose. Look, if you would, in verse number 4, the Bible said, when the Lord saw that He turned aside to see, God called unto Him out of the midst of the bush. Oh, God knows your name this morning. He knows my name. And it's a specific call. He called to Him from this fiery witness. The manifestation of God's presence. But then secondly, notice the majesty of God's person. Brother Mike touched on this morning in his teaching hour. The majesty of God's person. First of all, in verse 5, you'll notice on the witness of this fire, there's respect of His ground. The Bible said in verse 5, He said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. What are you saying, Brother Ken, the witness of this fire? Not only do we find the manifestation of God's presence, but here you'll find the majesty of God's person. He's holy! And He's not changed. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. You'll see the respect of His ground. In verse number 5, Moses took off his shoes. He said, oh, where my trashy self has been is not even worthy to get around to where you at. I think another Bible character had the same view of God. It's found in Isaiah chapter number 6. He said, oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He said, I am a man of unclean lips. May I say, God is a holy God this morning. If you're ever going to go to the heavenly city that is holy, you've got to be made a holy people. God only does that from His holiness. The majesty of God's person. God in His majesty. I tell you, people don't lift Him up high enough anymore. The Bible said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Oh, we ought to be in the lifting business. But we get so caught up in pride, competition. Oh, we've got to be like this one and that one. And, you know, I can sing better than anybody. I can preach better than anybody. I can dress better than anybody. We need to get back to remembering God is holy. He's not on mine and your level. Some of you may think that you're on first name basis, but you're not. He's still the holy God. Holy God. He ain't Bud. He ain't your partner. He ain't your co-pilot. He's God. His glory. You'll see the majesty of God's person, the respect of His ground. You say, Brother Kid, you brag on Him too much. That's all we hear is, well, let me tell you something. I don't know nothing else better to brag about. Yeah. Brother Ken, I just can't believe how you carry on about when the Lord came to you and saved you. He could have passed me by. Could have passed me by. But by His grace, and the majesty of His person, you'll see He has respect of His ground. But in verse number 6, notice this. Not only in the majesty of His person will you find there's respect of His ground, but there is recognition of His greatness. The Bible said in verse 6, moreover, He said, I am the God of thy father. I am the God of thy father. He's the great I am. And we see the recognition of His greatness. He told them in verse 13, Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say to them, who sent you down here and what's your name? God told him, He said, you just tell them I am that I am. You tell them that I am hath sent me unto you. But what are you saying? The majesty of God's person. You'll see the recognition of His greatness. He is God and there's no one like Him. By the way, the people that are worshiping Allah are not worshiping our God. But we are worshiping the God, the great God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you'll find that in the majesty of God's person, you'll see the recognition of His greatness. But then thirdly, notice, you'll see the remembrance of His graves. Look in verse 6. I don't know if you've ever noticed this in your Bible or not. But the Bible says, moreover, He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Why did He say that? These men was dead and gone. Because He's still their God. These men have been buried for hundreds of years when Moses come on the scene. But He said, I am a God that remembers my folks in the grave. Thank God He'll know me at the grave. Buddha can't do that for you at the grave. Allah can't do that for you at the grave. Confucius can't do that for you at the grave. The Baptist church can't do that for you at the grave. But He remembers His folks at the grave. He said, I am the God of Abraham. In other words, Abraham's still living and God's still living too. Well, I'm glad He didn't. Now, I'd have closed my Bible if I'd have found this in the wee hours of the morning and said, I was the God of Abraham. If your Bible reads that, chunk it in that trash can in the study when you go by this morning. He said, I am the God. And let me remind you this morning, those that are alive in Christ will never, ever die again. We're going to live forever. This morning, the witness of this fire, you'll see the majesty of God's person, the respect of His ground. Let me ask you something. Do you really respect the holiness of God? If you do, you'll respect the man of God. You'll respect the building of God. You'll respect the elders of God. You'll respect the people of God. You'll respect the money of God. He said, take off your shoes because this is holy ground. We all ought to step out of our shoes every time we come in here and pile them on that porch out there before we come. You know, in the church I got saved, they were so old-timey and so old-fashioned. Back years ago, they'd take when a man would preach and they'd scald out the pulpit area with an old brush broom, scouring mop, and hot scalding water. That was very symbolic of as they're cleaning out the stand of where he stood so the next one could stand. May I tell you this morning, I'd go a step further. It ain't what's on the outside. You can clean up like a shine-toothed dog. But it's what's on the inside that God sees this morning. So here on these Bible fires, we see the witness of the fire, the manifestation of God's presence. Aren't you glad that He manifests Himself? Our God's alive. Isn't it wonderful when He just comes to you in the car? I mean, I thought about this, the manifestation of God's person. I got to thinking, when I pulled out of this road down here before this church was ever built. And I'm going to tell you, God come in that car and I ain't been eating too many hamburgers. I've not been watching too many movies. I've not stayed too long on the computer, Brother Ram. God reached in that car and touched me and I can tell you exactly where it was and I can tell you what He said. He said, that church is going right up that road on that hill. I said, dear Lord, where is it going? He's done one church across the road. I went home and told my dad-in-law, I was so excited. I said, I'm confused. He said, why are you confused, Ken? Because God just showed me where that church is going and there ain't nothing out there for sale. He said, have you thought about so-and-so? Hello. Would you like to sell that property out there by the Legion Club? Oh, I'd be delighted to sell it. What? Brought a man here one time, showed him the property, a big businessman, bowed and He said, I'll tell you one thing. If I'd have known that was for sale, y'all would have never got it. I said, that was a problem. You'd never know it was for sale. God had it here! I'm talking about the witness of the fire. I'm talking about the manifestation of God's presence. Oh, I'm so glad He's sovereign. The majesty of God's person. He's holy! Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. He's holy. He requires us to act holy. We're to be God's people separated from this whole world. Holy. Different. The manifestation of God's presence. The majesty of God's person. But thirdly, the mystery of God's plan. Verse 8. The mystery of God's plan. Look what He said. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egypt. Can I tell you what Arthur Pink had to say? And I love to quote these old men of God. He said, this humble bush, which possessed neither beauty nor comeliness, became temporarily the abode of Jehovah. And from it He revealed Himself to Moses. May I tell you that I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 53. The Bible said that He was nothing really to look at. He was meek and lowly. But He came into the form of a man. God came in the form of a man that died on an old rugged cross for you and I that He may reach us in our sins. And I say the mystery of God's plan. First of all, you'll find there is justification in verse 8. He said, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. I'm glad I've been delivered, and that's justification. I've been justified by the blood of Jesus, not because my name is on a church roll, not because I pay my tithes, not because I visit the sick, not because I read my Bible, not because I pray, but I've been justified by the darling Lamb of God that John seen and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Justified by grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am justified. You'll see the mystery of God's plan. Justification. Then verse number 8, you'll see sanctification. He said, I'm going to bring them up out of that land. Oh, that's what He's doing to us this morning that are saved. He's bringing us out of this land. He's conforming us to the image of Him. I don't know why He won't let me do things. But that ain't none of my business. Somebody's bought me with a price and I've got to check in to the owner. And His sanctification walked through this old world. The Bible says we better not drive nothing down too deep. What are you saying? I'm saying the mystery of God's plan. I'm glad it came down. Wasn't that amazing that a God so holy and so high and so heavenly would take on the form of a servant, come and walk in this place for some 33 odd years, get on an old rugged cross and die that me and you may live. Now, buddy, that is a big, wonderful God. Justification. Sanctification. But then look what He said in verse number 8. Glorification. The Bible said, I'm not only going to bring them up out of that land, a good land and a large, but unto a land flowing with milk and honey. You see, God came down. Not only is He getting us up out, but He's got to get us unto. And that is glorification. The Bible said, Romans 8 and 28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Then Romans 8 and 29, He said, those whom is justified, they will be sanctified. And those whom are sanctified, they will be glorified. I'm glad this morning we can find the witness of this old bush, the mystery of God's plan. Why He took it upon Himself to save us, I'll never know. But I'm glad He came down. And then fourthly and lastly this morning on the witness of this fire, not only do you find a manifestation of God's presence, the majesty of God's person, and the mystery of God's plan, but lastly I want you to see the ministry of God's power. the ministry of God's power. I'm going to give you the key ingredient of how to keep on ministering. How to keep on singing. How to keep on laughing. How to keep on crying. It's all here at this Bible fire. You'll find the ministry of God's power. Verse number 2, notice the frailty of the bush. The Bible said, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush." You know what this thing was? It was a little old runny, scrubby, thorny bush. This thing grew low to the ground, about this tall as far as it would ever get. Moses had seen a whole lot of them in his walk on the back of that desert, but it was something about this thing. No doubt he'd seen some on fire. No doubt he'd pitched them on fire. But I tell you what really thrilled and amazed Moses was it wouldn't burn up. The frailty of this bush. You see, God uses a little thing. You don't have to be a big preacher. Is there any big preacher? I heard that. He's a big preacher. He's a big singer. He's a big giver. Is it really them people? No, see, God uses little things. You remember the little maid that the man of the Bible, he had leprosy? Naaman was his name, and the Bible said a little maid told him how he could get cured. And she had been taken out of her environment and held captive into Samaria. And she said, "Oh, I know a man that can." Little old maid. Then I'm reminded of this little old lad. You remember that when Samson got so high and mighty and he got on this eye program, "I'm going to do this, now I'm going to do that," and the Philistines put out his eyes. I remember the Bible said that a little lad led him over to the pillars of the tabernacle. And he cried one more time and said, "Oh God, would you let my last day be wonderful?" The Bible said that he moved them pillars and the building fell and killed thousands. What do you say? I'm saying that little lad. And then I'm reminded of those little old them three little old fishes and five little old loaves. And Jesus said, "You take that 5,000 and set them down in orders, and I'm going to astound you." Can I remind you of something? I know you've heard it, and I can't help it. All I can do is preach on what I know. Until God gives me something else, I can't do no more. But I'm going to stay with what works. I remember one time it was a hat passed around in my study. And I think it was $450 or $550 that them five or six men wrote down on that piece of paper, put back in that hat that they could give to this ministry when it first started. And I said, "Dear Lord, how in the world can we make ends meet?" God uses little things. God's not looking for big shots. God uses little things. And we see the frailty of this bush, just a little bush. Wouldn't it be amazing if little old you and little old me would just catch fire for the glory of God? The frailty of the bush. Miss Sherry, y'all come. But then the fire of the bush in verse 2. The Bible said, "And he appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of that bush." Not only the frailty, but the fire of the bush. You know what you ought to do this morning about the witness of this fire? You ought to come back around and you ought to say, "Dear God, I wish you would light up my tree one more time." The frailty of the bush. The fire of that bush. But then, lastly, the fascination of that bush. I'm talking about the ministry of God's power. How can you carry on? Get full of fire. You see, when this bush got filled with fire, it wouldn't consume. You know why some of you just about ready to quit? Because you're so cold. You hadn't prayed. You hadn't studied. And it's easy done. I'm not throwing rocks. But I will assure you and I will tell you this by experience. I'm talking about being a pastor. When I'm ready to quit, I can always tell you why. my fire's gone. And you know, Brother John, the devil loves to put out your fire. If he sees your hearts to start to warm, here he comes. Boy, he hates for your heart to go to flaming these Bible fires of God. The fascination. Oh, it was just amazing. Isn't it wonderful when our young people get filled with the fire of God and stand out, stand up and speak out, and it begins to spread across the congregation? Are you about consumed this morning? Maybe you walk in the darkest spots you've ever walked in. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you'll get filled with fire, it won't consume you. I mean, sometimes, folks, I just have to have a reality check. I'm always giving and giving and giving. There's times I've got to receive something. I've got to get something from my life to help me to stir the fires and start the fires of my heart. I guarantee you, every time I'm about ready to say, I just don't think I can make it no more, I tell you what my problem is. That fire ain't blazing in my heart. And I tell you what'll do you good to start a fire. First of all, you've got to look and think, dear God, look what you've done for me. Brother Kent, you don't understand. You've got a life of Riley, son. I know that. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes I have bad days, and I look and say, dear God, I'm saved. I ain't got to lay down and worry about dying and going to hell no more. God, you could have skipped by me and went to the man sitting by me, but you didn't. You stopped where I was at. God, you give us a church that is not many like. You give me brothers and sisters that love me. I've got a good wife. You say, well, Brother Ken, I've lost mine. Oh, I know somebody. Brother Ken, I ain't got my child no more. I ain't got my husband. I ain't got my wife. Oh, but I know somebody. I know somebody that said that he would be a friend at all times. And this morning, I want to ask you this question before Brother David sings. The ministry of God's power. Have you got power in your ministry? Brother Ken, I don't have a ministry. Oh, yes, you do. Oh yes, I can take you to this Bible Baptist service and show you. Every born again Christian has a ministry. It's a ministry of linking. It's a ministry of getting others and telling them about Jesus. Sheep get sheep. When's the last time you told somebody about what God has done for you? This morning I want to ask you something. The manifestation of God's presence. Has there ever been a time in your life that God came to where you was? He came there for a specific reason. To save you, to encourage you, or to instruct you.